Our text of Scripture for today is verse number 38, 1 Kings chapter number 18. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." Verse 38 is really the climax of that time whenever Elijah the prophet was to challenge the false prophets upon Mount Carmel. On this mountain there is Elijah the prophet of God. There are 450 false prophets of Baal, and also 400 false prophets of the groves. Also a great company of people are gathered that day as well from the nation of Israel. If you look at verse number 21 of the chapter, there you have Elijah addressing this vast congregation. And it says, "Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but of Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, and not a word." And my, the question here facing the people that day was, who is the real God? Who is the living and the true God? Is it Baal? Or is it Jehovah? That was the question that was facing the people that day. To decide this question, a contest is arranged. Elijah and the prophets of Baal, they set up two separate altars with sacrifices upon them. And the sacrifice which is consumed with fire will prove who is the true God. Look at verse 23 and verse 24 of the chapter. Here Elijah is speaking to the people about these sacrifices, and he says, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces as the prophets of Baal, and lay it on wood, and put on fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." The outcome of all this is that Elijah's sacrifice is burned up with fire from heaven. Thus the people are made to see that day that Jehovah, the Lord God of heaven, is the only true a living God. Look at verse 38, our text, and also verse 39 of the chapter. Speaks here about Elijah's sacrifice and the altar that he'd made where that sacrifice was laid. And it says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Now, this fire here from heaven upon the altar was but a symbol of God's presence and indeed God's power among His people that day. And people throughout the Bible, fire is often used as a symbol of the presence of God and the power of God among His people. You see that whenever God called Moses at the backside of the desert and the bush burned with fire yet was not consumed. That burning bush was a symbol of the presence and the power of God to His servant Moses. Think also of Israel when they left the bondage of Egypt and traveled 40 years in the wilderness to the land of Canaan. We're told that there was the pillar of fire leading Israel in the wilderness, all a symbol of the presence and the power of the Lord amongst His ancient people. Again, you think of the words of the prophet John the Baptist in John chapter 3, verse 16, speaking there of the Lord's dealings with His people and the ministry of God the Holy Ghost. And He says there that He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thus we see here then that this fire on Mount Carmel in the day of the prophet Elijah, it would speak to us of God's presence and indeed the fullness of the blessing of the Holy Ghost amongst the people of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say to you this morning, this is our great need today as a church. My, we need the fire of God, the Holy Ghost, coming upon us. What for? To burn away the dross of sin. To illuminate our hearts and minds to the things of God. To attract others to the Lord Jesus Christ, to empower us for Christian service, and to enable us in our personal lives to glorify God in days of trial and days of suffering. That being the case, how then can we know the power and indeed the fire of God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost upon our lives? Well, I believe this passage of Scripture before us this morning, it provides you and I with the answer to that question. You look at verse number 38, the words of our text, and notice how it begins. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell. And that word then really shows us that certain things here preceded the falling of this fire from the Lord upon the altar of Elijah. In other words, certain requirements were met by the prophet Elijah. There were certain steps which Elijah was to take in particular that day. Steps that was to lead to the blessing of God and the fire of God coming upon the altar. What, that being the case, what then was this pathway to blessing in the life of Elijah, the prophet? Notice first of all that the first step on this pathway to blessing was the repairing of the altar of the Lord. You look at verse number 30 of the chapter. Notice what it says there. It says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And notice what it says. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There was a repairing of the altar of the Lord. In the Old Testament times, the altar was the place of sacrifice. It was the place of prayer. It was the place of worship to God. It was the place of devotion to the Lord. Remember the day in which Elijah ministered. Such was the idolatry and the apostasy, the departure from God by and large in Elijah's day in the land of Israel, that the altar of the Lord had been broken down. It had been cast aside by and large by the people. And instead it had been replaced by the altars of Baal and the false gods of the people. And as we think of this morning, dear people of God, the repairing here of the altar of the Lord by Elijah in this day, it really would show us that the blessing and indeed the power of the Holy Spirit only falls upon the life and indeed upon the church where the Lord has given his rightful place. Oh, dear people, let us ask ourselves the question this morning, does the Lord have that rightful place in our hearts and in our lives? Does the Lord have that rightful place in our homes? Does the Lord have that rightful place in our church and in the work of God? And what is that rightful place? That rightful place means the Lord having the preeminence in all things. Turn with me in your Bibles over to the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, the first chapter of Colossians, and the verse number 18. And here, Paul is speaking to you and I about Christ. And notice here, he emphasizes the point that Christ is to be preeminent in all things. Colossians 1, verse 18, he says of Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, that's the church of Christ, the body of Christ, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, might have the preeminence. He is to be the preeminent one in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our church, in the work of God, in the cause of Christ. Dear people today, can we honestly say in our heart of hearts with the hymn writer regarding Christ, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. You see, whenever Elijah here repaired the altar of the Lord, what was he doing that day? He was giving the Lord his rightful place among the people. In other words, he was giving the Lord the place of preeminence that day when the altar was repaired. And I encourage you, believer, you study the lives of those in the Bible, those whose lives have been greatly blessed and used of God, and you will see a similarity between them and Elijah. What is that similarity? They were continually building altars unto the Lord. Indeed, if those altars had been broken down, they were then repairing those altars unto the Lord. You think of Noah. What does the Bible tell us about Noah? In Genesis 8, verse 20, it says, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord." Again, think of Abraham, the father of the faithful. What does it say about Abraham upon Mount Moriah? It says, "And Abraham built an altar there unto the Lord." You think of what Jacob the patriarch said to his family in Genesis 35, verse 3. He said, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel." And he says, "And I will make," he says, "an altar there." And we could go on right through the Old Testament time after time, God's servants building altars unto the Lord. Oh, dear believer, if the altar of the Lord is broken down in your life today, then that altar, it needs to be repaired. It needs to be built again, as was the case here with Elijah in our passage this morning. This means you giving the Lord his rightful place in your heart, in your life, in your work, in your witness for the Lord, and indeed in your own daily life, day by day. It means you giving time for the prayer, for private and public prayer, time for the reading and the study of God's Word, a time for the worship of the Lord and the worship of His name. Well, can I say this is vital for each one of us if we are to know the fire of God's blessing coming upon us? Yes, you and I, we must put the Lord first in our lives. We must rebuild the altars of God that are broken down. George Mueller was once asked, what was the secret of God's blessing upon his life? And he replied to that question by saying, "A day came when I died to George Mueller. I died to his opinions, his preferences, his tastes, his will. A day came when I died to the world, its approval and its censure. Also, a day came when I died to the approval of friends and brethren, and since that day I have studied to show myself approved unto God." That was the burden of a soul. A life approved unto God, a life sold out to God. The Lord was first and foremost in his life. Yes, the first step here for Elijah was the repairing of the altar. Notice something else here from 1 Kings 18. The second step here in the pathway to blessing for Elijah was the offering of sacrifice. Look at verse number 33 of 1 Kings 18. It says here of Elijah, "And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, 'Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.'" And there you see how Elijah the prophet, he offered every piece of this sacrifice as a burnt offering up to the Lord. Whenever you and I think here of this sacrifice, we think of the place of blood shedding, for that's what the sacrifice was. It was a place where the blood of the Lamb was shed. And is there not there a thought to us as God's people? If we are to know God's blessing, then as the people of the Lord, we must confess our sins, our faults, our failings, our shortcomings, our backslidings to the Lord. And we must ask for that fresh cleansing through the blood of Christ, the blood of the cross, shed upon the cross of Calvary. The psalmist asks the question, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord but him that have clean hands and a pure heart?" Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 John chapter 1. Look at the words here of John the Apostle as he writes to the Lord's people. And this epistle is all about the fellowship of the Lord's people with the Lord and with Christ. And look in particularly what he says to you and I who are saved in verses 7, 8, and 9 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse of us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there John is speaking to you and I about fellowship with the Lord. If we are to live in fellowship with the Lord, then there must be that coming to the Lord day by day for that cleansing in the precious blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. Indeed, he says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, even as the people of God. And he says the truth is not in us. And by this altar here in the day of Elijah, it speaks, yes, of the shedding of blood and the need for us to have a walk with God, a close walk with God as God's people, where things that may come between us and the Lord are put away. But also there's a thought here as well for you in the meeting this morning are still unsaved. Dear unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, if you're to know in your heart and in your life the blessing of God's salvation, if you are to know the joy of your sins forgiven, if you are to have the assurance of eternal life and a home in God's heaven, then you must come personally by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Trust in the blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary for the cleansing away of all your sins and the salvation of your eternal, never-dying soul before Almighty God. And can I say this upon the authority of God's Word, that the Lord Himself in mercy, He calls you to Christ, to trust in Christ. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, if you're not unsaved, that you would heed even this day that call from the Lord in the gospel to repent of your sins and to trust the Lord for salvation. Yes, the sacrifice that speaks to us of the shedding of blood. But you know, when you think also here further of this offering that was made here by Elijah the prophet, it's important to note here that nothing was withheld. Every piece here of this sacrifice was offered as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Look at verse 33 again. It says, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, fill your barrels with water and pour it on. Notice it. The burnt sacrifice, the burnt offering to the Lord. Nothing was held back. Every piece was offered to the Lord. And is there not there a wonderful lesson for us as believers? Dear people of God, if you and I are to know the fullness of God's blessing in our lives, then we must hold nothing back from the Lord. Turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Look with me, please, at the opening verse of this chapter. Paul is writing here to God's people. He has been dealing prior to this 12th chapter of Romans of the great blessings of the gospel, the great blessings of being saved, being a child of God, being redeemed, reconciled through the blood of Christ, sins forgiven. On account of all that, notice what he says to you and I who are saved and to all God's people. In verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in other words, on account of God's saving mercy to your soul and life, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There the call is to you and I as God's people to hold nothing back, to present our lives as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And Paul says, which is but your reasonable service. This is really what is expected of us as Christians, as believers, as those who know and trust the Lord as Savior. Remember again what Paul said earlier on in this book to God's people. He says, yield yourselves unto God as instruments of righteousness. There's to the yielding up of the believer to the Lord and all that concerns the believer. One of the great hymns that we sometimes sing in our hymn book says these words. It says, Lord, I make a full surrender. All I have I yield to Thee, for Thy love so great and tender. Ask the gift of me. There the hymn writer was speaking of an account of what God had done for them in Christ, that they might give up their life personally unto the Lord. Speaking about this in his own life, Jonathan Edwards said, "One occasion I have this day been before God, and have given myself all that I have and am to God, so that I am in no more respect my own. I have given myself," he says, "clean away to the Lord." O believer, how is it with you and I this morning? Have we yielded our all to the Lord? Our hearts, our lives, are they yielded up to the Lord, to the service of God, the cause of Christ, the Word of God, the ways of the Lord? Have we come to that point in our own life's experience, even like Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed before his heavenly Father, said, "Not my will, but thine be done"? Is that the desire of our souls today, for the will of God to be wrought out in our hearts, in our lives? Notice one final thing here from 1 Kings 18. The third step here in the pathway to blessing, in the case of Elijah, was the offering up of specific prayer to God. You look at verse 36 and verse 37 of the chapter. Here read of Elijah and this whole episode before the Lord in prayer. It says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near." He was drawing near to God in prayer. "And said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." And there you see Elijah engaging in specific prayer before the Lord. You notice there that it was at the time of the evening sacrifice. Verse 36 says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice." And lo, it was late in the day. This did not stop Elijah here from praying. You go back to verse 19 and verse 20 of the chapter, you'll see there that he was surrounded by a vast company of evil and ungodly people who really had no time for God. It says in verse 19, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." This great company was arrayed, an ungodly company, around Elijah. But notice here that it didn't stop Elijah from praying. You'll see something else here about his prayer, that the motive in his prayer was the glory of God. Look again at what he prays in verse 37. He says, "Hear me, O God, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart again." He was wanting the Lord's name to be known amongst the people. If you look at verse 38 and then verse 39, you'll see here that the prayer of Elijah was not in vain. "For the fire of the Lord fell," and there was a great turning in the hearts of the people unto the Lord. Look at verse 38 and 39. It says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" The Lord heard and answered the prayer of his servant. Oh, child of God, if you and I, yes, if we are to see God's blessing in our lives and in the work of God at home and abroad, then like Elijah, this man whom God has recorded in the Bible, the life of this man, we must give ourselves unto prayer, unto the seeking of God. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Over to the New Testament book of Luke and chapter number 11. The disciples have asked a very important question that the Lord would teach them to pray. And the whole emphasis here at the beginning of Luke chapter 11 is prayer amongst God's people. And look at what the Lord says in particular in verses 9 to 13 of Luke chapter 11. He says, "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any one of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? The answer to all those questions surely is no. And then in verse 13, Christ says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, he says, shall your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And he was dealing here with God's people. Need to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon his people, upon his church, upon his work, his cause, his vineyard, his kingdom. You think back today to the 1859 revival. It was preceded just by a small handful of people praying in a schoolhouse for God's blessing. And the burden of their heart was, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And following that time of earnest prayer, the fire of the Lord fell across the province of Ulster, indeed further afield. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ in the meeting house this morning, as you and I even prepare for the forthcoming convention meetings, let us earnestly pray. Pray for God's blessing. Pray for the pouring out of God, the Holy Spirit, upon the preachers and upon all who hear God's word over this time. Let us daily seek the Lord for his blessing, for the fire of God throughout the convention meetings and indeed beyond. Oh, as the hymn writer says, to each may the faith of Elijah be given to pray till the answer be given. You think of Elijah here this morning, 1 Kings 18. Whenever he repaired the altar, made the sacrifice and offered prayer, what does our text say at the beginning of verse 38? It says, then the fire of the Lord fell. Oh, as it was with Elijah, may it be so with you and I.